Mr. Isserlis, wenn man Ihre Homepage liest, dann gibt es da eine ganze Reihe von Berufen, die Sie ausüben. Sie sind Cellist, Autor, Musikforscher und General Enthusiast.
Ja.
Was bedeutet General Enthusiast?
Great enthusiasms for some writers, a lot of literature, especially Victorian English novels. And some film actors like the Marx Brothers. And that's why it's general enthusiasm. It's not just about music. Mm-hmm. And also enthusiasm for some sorts of food, which is very important to me. It says that.
Most of his time traveling around the world, playing concerts and eating large meals.
That is true. I have to eat a large lunch every day. If I have a concert in the evening, I have a large late lunch. That keeps me going till after the concert. So that's true. And I do travel large parts of the world with my cello.
With one cello?
Yes, but one at a time. In Heidelberg, in fact, I should be playing the Dutilleux concerto, so I will not have the same cello I have here in Leipzig for the Haydn concerto. Here I have a Stradivarius with Darmsait, gut strings, the old type of strings, which I love. But in Heidelberg, I will have my Montignana, which is set up with more modern steel strings.
And you are going to be the owner of that cello?
Yes, in about 6 years' time, all being well. If I can keep paying the mortgage, yes.
So you can collect after the concert, people will give you money, so the cello will be your own very soon.
I doubt this.
Let us hear something about this cello concerto you play in Heidelberg by Henri Dutilleux. He is not well known in Germany. He died in 2013.
Yeah, very recently.
He wrote some violin concertos and this cello concerto.
He's a composer of poetry, of imagination, of fantasy. He's wonderful. I mean, he comes like Messiaen. You can see, absolutely see the line, Fauré, Ravel, Debussy, Messiaen, Dutilleux. He's not like the Boulez school. No, Dutilleux was, his heart was in the past. I mean, I think for me, every great composer grows out of the past. And Dutilleux is certainly that. And of course, he was considered old-fashioned by the modernists. But I bet in 100 years' time, Dutilleux's music will survive and most of those modernists will be completely forgotten. No, it's a wonderful. He himself felt that the cello concerto was his greatest piece. It's based on poetry by Baudelaire. It's unique. I mean, as I say, you can hear the connection to Ravel and Debussy and even Fauré, but it is unique. He's got his own language. It's complex, yes, and of course it's difficult, but it is extreme beauty. The technical difficulties don't matter in a way.
A lot of brass instruments and a lot of percussion instruments for percussionists.
Yes, but used in a very poetic way. It's not like one of these sort of modern American compositions where they bring in lots of percussion at the end of the piece so that they can get a standing ovation. It's not like that. It's percussion sort of, you know, as poetry.
You play with a Junge Deutsche Philharmonie. Do you know this orchestra?
Maybe this is my fourth time with them, but of course it's all different people every time because it's a youth orchestra.
Another talent you have is to write funny books, I think. Okay. In German, warum Beethoven mit Gulasch warf und warum Händel mit der Perücke wackelte oder so ähnlich oder wedelte. Diese Bücher schreiben Sie vor allen Dingen, um Kinder für klassische Musik zu interessieren.
Ja, that's very important for me to introduce children to classical music. I mean, you're right, they are humorous books, but I really did try to get as many facts right. I tried to make them as accurate as I could. And they have a serious purpose underneath the humor, which is to introduce these children to classical music, to introduce them to these great composers, and to make them feel, as I was meant to feel when I was a little boy, that these great composers are their friends and will be their friends for life. And it's very important for me that, and I've done many children's concerts. In fact, I'm doing one at the Dresden Festival this year, organized by my friend Jan Faulkler. He wanted me to do a children's concert, so I did. I'm doing. I had my own children's concert series in New York, and I wrote some musical stories, which a composer called Anne Dudley, sort of an Oscar-winning film and television composer, as well as classical composer. She wrote the music, and we did these three stories, which I like. We haven't recorded them yet, but I hope we will. They're sort of like Peter and the Wolf, but based on popular fairy stories, but the characters are all musical instruments. it's the audience of the future, but also it's music has enriched my life, and these great composers have enriched my life, so I wanted to pass that on to children. And I love playing for children. I love talking to children. I love their questions, the questions they ask. They can be noisy, of course. You expect that with children. But actually, I play the same pieces that I would play for adults, just I would play one movement and talk about it. But I can play anything. I can play late Beethoven for them, anything. If you talk about and explain what you think the music is about, what to listen for, and then they listen wonderfully. And they always know when it's finished, immediately. They're very good listeners. And the smiles, of course, if they've enjoyed it. They don't lie. If they haven't enjoyed it, you know it. But if they have enjoyed it.
Manchmal habe ich gedacht, Sie sind ein Verwandter von Peter Ustinov.
I met him once, very briefly. He was lovely. I don't know. I mean, I like, you know, my favorite writing is often very humorous. I love P.G. Woodhouse. I also love Monty Python, and I'm actually friends with some of them. And
John Cleese?
No, I'm not known, but Terry Jones, his daughter is my goddaughter, and Michael Palin I know, and Terry Gilliam I know. In fact, I have a few comedian friends, writer friends. I love humor. It's very English, and I'm Jewish, so both English and Jewish humor I particularly love.
Your name is Elis. Dachte ich zuerst, das ist ein griechischer Name.
Nein.
Is he not?
It's Jewish.
One grandfather of you was a Russian pianist?
Yeah. My grandfather was a Russian pianist. It's not a Greek name. It sounds like it, but it isn't. It's a Jewish name coming from Krakow in the 17th century,
Poland.
I think. Yeah, from Moses Isserles, who was a very, very famous Talmudic scholar. In fact, maybe I'll play it in his synagogue, the Moses Isserles Synagogue, this summer. And he started the name, and many, many people are descended from him, including Mendelssohn and Karl Marx and Helena Rubinstein. And my grandfather, yeah, he was a famous pianist in his day, and a lovely composer. I mean, not a major composer, but he wrote some lovely pieces, which were published by Universal Edition in Vienna, who now publish my musical stories, so it's a nice tie. And so my father was born in Odessa in 1917, and then in 1922, Lenin decreed that 12 famous Russian Soviet musicians must tour abroad with their families for 6 months and tell the world what a great cultural place the Soviet Union was. A fine idea, except not one of the 12 ever went back. So, but my father was born in Odessa, and then he went to Moscow, and then he left at the age of 5 because of that Lenin decree. He settled in Vienna, and then 81 years after he'd left, the age of 86, my father had the chance to go back to Russia for a holiday. And he chose St. Petersburg. And I said, why didn't you choose Odessa or Moscow? He said, I've seen them already.
Ihre Eltern waren auch Musiker. Und Sie schreiben, ein Cello hat einfach gefehlt in der Familie. Sonst hätten Sie vielleicht etwas anderes gespielt oder gelernt.
Maybe, yes. It's true. My mother played the piano. My father played the violin. He was a very keen amateur. She was a piano teacher. My elder sister, Annette, is a very busy professional violist and record producer and arranger. And my middle sister, who lives in Germany, in Recklinghausen, she's a violinist. So we needed a cellist.
Treffen Sie sich manchmal und machen zusammen Kammermusik?
Occasionally. The last time we played was my father's memorial concert. It's a little difficult. We all know each other too well. We fight a bit.
Nochmal zurück zur Musikvermittlung. Also was Sie gesagt haben für Kinder. Gibt es da vielleicht zu wenig für Erwachsene? Man konzentriert sich zu sehr nur auf Kinder?
I don't just concentrate on children. I have also written a book recently. I wrote my commentary on Schumann's advice for young musicians. So that has just come out. Not yet in German, unfortunately. I hope it does come out in German, because of course the original Schumann is in German. But also I'm artistic director of the International Musician Seminar in Prussia Cove in Cornwall. That's a very important part of my life. And then I work with, well, I usually have in my class both cellists and violinists and sometimes violists. And I teach them 10 days a year. That's my main teaching. But also I give classes around the world as I teach. And that's as I travel. And again, it's very important for me because I study with some very, very great teachers. And I like to pass on the values, the insights they gave me.
Sie haben eine CD gemacht und unter anderem am Ende dieser CD ein sogenanntes Trench Cello.
Oh ja, das Cello with piano. It's all
cello mit Piano, aber am Ende ein Trench Cello.
Yeah, that's true.
Ich kenne den Trench Coat, aber nicht ein Trench Cello. Das haben Sie das wieder aus der Versenkung herausgeholt, wiederentdeckt?
Well, yeah, it's a lovely little thing. It was a holiday cello. It was made, I think, at the beginning of the 20th century. This soldier called Harold Triggs. He bought one of these cellos. He was a very keen amateur cellist. And then he took it with him to the trenches of the First World War. And he played, we know he played in regimental dances and things, because there's a, inside the cello, there's a piece of paper ordering him to appear with his cello at this event. But also inside the cello is an inscription from famous First World War poet Edmund Blunden, saying how good it is, I think 1961, how good to see this cello again, all his memories of it from the trenches where we did sonatas by Debussy, Frank Bridge, I think most underrated British composer, and Fauré, my hero, and the three little pieces by Anton Webern. And then at the end of the disc, we did four pieces that I think maybe he would have played, Harold Triggs, in the trenches. I'm just imagining. I don't know.
Trench heißt auf Deutsch Schützengraben, also wo die Soldaten sich verborgen haben. Hatte man im Ersten Weltkrieg Zeit, Cello zu spielen im Schützengraben?
That's the point. He did. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there was a lot, I think there was a lot of waiting in the trenches between battles. The battles didn't last so long. It's the boredom, I understand, was just unbearable. So a cello would have been, concerts would have been very welcome.
Und dieses Trench Cello sieht aus wie eine Kiste eigentlich. Also hat gar keinen schönen runden Klangkörper.
It's oblong.
Wie klingt es denn eigentlich?
Well, gentle. Sounds sweet. I don't know. I played it to my cello doctor and he said, this shouldn't make a sound at all. It has no sound holes, but it's a lovely sound. It is a lovely sound. I don't know why or how, but it is. And if you're clever, you can, it's a box and you keep the strings and the bridge and the everything inside the box. And you open up the box and you have a cello in 5 minutes.
It's like do it yourself.
Exactly.